The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Thank you for joining us on Grace in Focus. We're just about in the middle of a short series on the life of Jonah, the Old Testament prophet who was a reluctant prophet. And we left off yesterday with Jonah getting thrown into a raging sea. Well, his deliverer, a great big fish, swims up to him and just swallows him. And while he's inside that fish, Jonah offers a prayer. Here's today's discussion with Bob Wilkin and Dave Renfro.
Well, David, welcome back to Grace in Focus.
Good to be here.
I think we ended up in Nineveh, starting in chapter 3,
chapter
right?
Chapter 3.
So the first four verses basically are Jonah's message. He has a little sermonette he's going to give.
It's a very short sermonette to the Ninevites. He finally makes it to Nineveh. Remember my overall outline of chapters
right.
1 and 2 is disobedient Jonah. This is obedient Jonah. In other words, he actually gets to Nineveh.
So now chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." So this is Jonah 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you."
A couple of things I want to point out there. Number one, I love the Hebrew in this verse because notice it says, go to the great city and preach the message.
Right.
Literally, the Hebrew reads, proclaim the proclamation.
Proclaim the proclamation. And that's slightly different than what we had in chapter 1, verse 2.
Right.
Because 1, 2 was cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up against me.
Right.
Here we have preach to it, and you're saying it's proclaim the proclamation?
To it, yeah. Proclaim the proclamation to it. The message that I tell you, and this is interesting too, in the Hebrew, the word I is emphasized in Hebrew. It's, in other words, it's almost like the Lord is telling Jonah, I'm not sending you to Nineveh so you can preach what you want to preach. You preach what I tell you to.
All right, so here God is sending him and he's to proclaim the proclamation, not that Jonah wants to give, but that God's going to tell him.
The Lord is going to dictate to Jonah what Jonah needs to tell the Ninevites.
All right. And so it says Jonah rose and went to Nineveh. So he's obeying. And we don't know exactly how far he goes. We don't even know how he gets there. You were saying he might have rented a camel or a donkey or something, or he might have just walked.
I'm assuming that the fish vomited him out, to use the biblical language, somewhere. And it could have been on the Israelite coast, but it could have been north of that in what's now Turkey or Lebanon. Either way, Nineveh is, what I read, is 550 miles northeast of Samaria, which is northern Israel.
Right.
So regardless, we're talking at least 500 miles.
Yeah.
And the estimates are, let's say Jonah, you know, bought a camel. Well, it probably still took him a month to get there.
Right.
By camel or donkey or whatever. So he goes overland and reaches the city of Nineveh on the Tigris River, what's now northern Iraq. And the Lord says, notice it says in verse 3, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent.
Now, what does that mean, a three-day journey in extent?
A lot of people disagree with each other as to what that means. Like, does it take 3 days to walk the city walls to, you know, the circumference of it? Or
is it 3 days across the diameter of it?
Or diameter, or just to walk around the whole city. And
so you would visit all of the places where people are living.
And, right. And a lot
or
of,
maybe even including the suburbs.
My hunch is that it probably includes the suburbs. He walked around Nineveh and its suburbs for 3 days.
But now this city then could have been, because a one-day's walk in that day was what, around 20 miles?
20 to 30, depending.
Okay. So it could be as much as 60 to 90 miles diameter or 60 to 90 miles circumference, or he wouldn't really walk that much if he's stopping and giving messages along
right.
the way. So maybe he's only covering a few miles, 3 or 4 or 5 miles each day as he's talking to the people and answering questions maybe and things like that. But still, this city has to be at least 10 or 20 miles diameter, and it might be a lot more.
It may be. And if you add the suburbs to that, it's even bigger.
Right.
I would not be surprised as when it says 3 days, that it took Jonah 3 days to zigzag through the streets of Nineveh preaching this word. You know, he just didn't go around the circumference of it, the city walls. I think he was on the streets of Nineveh talking to the people. That's what I think. But if you read the literature, all these scholars and commentators disagree as to what it means, a 3-day journey. That's what I think, is it took him 3 days to cover the whole city with this message.
And so we read in verse 4, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk.
Right.
So we are told this is a walk, and it's so therefore this 3-day journey must be by walking.
I think so.
And then he says, then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So this is the message that God told Jonah to deliver.
And I think what's very, very interesting here is when most of the prophets go out and they preach the message that the Lord wants to preach, it includes repentance. It includes believe in the Lord, you know, because a lot of times...
Some kind of escape clause.
Yeah.
Yet 40 days in Nineveh we all throw it, unless you repent.
Yeah.
But that's not here.
He doesn't say, in order to avoid this judgment, here's what you need to do. You need to repent, or you need to do this, that, and the other. This message, it's a pretty short sermon if you think about it, but he says 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. I think it's interesting that it's 40 days. 40 days in the Bible is used for a lot of places where testing is done. Remember in Genesis 7:17, it was 40 days with Noah's flood.
Right.
And then with Moses, Moses was on Mount Sinai in the presence of the Lord, Exodus 24, and that was a time of testing for the people, which they failed miserably, of course.
And then you get the 40 years of wandering.
Wandering, yeah. And that was.
And Jesus was tempted for, well, not tempted for 40 days, but he fasted for 40 days and was tempted at the end of it.
That's right. Jesus fasting, which made him physically weak. The number 40 is important in the Bible, isn't it?
Right.
And this is what Jonah is telling Nineveh. 40 days is a time of testing. What are you going to do in that 40 days? Are you going to respond? But he doesn't say this. At least it's not reported that he said it. But look, take it to the bank. It's going to happen in 40 days.
And we can imagine that these people probably asked him questions, right, and talked to him?
Yeah.
They may have asked the kind of questions the sailors did. Well, where are you from? Who are you? You know, what's your occupation?
You look kind of weird because you look like you've been in a fish belly for a long time.
Maybe his skin was bleached out.
It could be that his skin was peeling or something. You know, you'd never know.
And he may have some hair extensions.
You know.
It's seaweed.
Seaweed. And it's all sticky together.
And it's dried. Yeah, it's dried.
I don't think Jonah was a fashion statement.
But evidently, he was very believable.
Absolutely. I love the irony here. When it says here in verse 4, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown, that's only 5 words in Hebrew.
Wow.
That's a short sermon.
But my guess is he was delighted with this message.
Yeah.
He preached this with gusto.
He knew that the Ninevites were not nice people. So why would I want them to survive? Why would I want the Lord to save them or deliver them or not judge them? I hate these people. And yet here he is warning the Ninevites of what the Lord's going to do.
Bob Chisholm has some interesting articles dealing with this question because it sounds like this is a contradiction. I mean, the prophet says 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He's not saying this is what might happen. He's saying this is what will happen.
Right.
And yet we'll see in the next episode, this isn't what happens. And so what we need to recognize here, and Chisholm makes this point, is there are places in Scripture where prophecies are contingent upon some action taken by the people, and that there is, in some cases, an escape clause, even if it's not stated.
Right.
So, for example, the Lord appears to Abraham, and he says that I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Even though he doesn't say anything about a possible escape clause, you know, Abraham starts bargaining with him. How about if there's 50 righteous people? Okay, no, I won't destroy it. 40? Okay. Mm-hmm. 30? 20?
Right.
How about 10? He's like, okay, I won't destroy it for the sake of 10. But there weren't 10 righteous people, so he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
But the point is, there are sometimes a hidden escape clause, and that, and Chisholm's point is here, even though repentance is not mentioned, God, who is a gracious God, had that contingency in mind, and God knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And as we see in chapter 4, Jonah himself was concerned that God might relent,
mm-hmm.
right? He was concerned that he would be gracious to these people. So even as he's preaching with gusto, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, there's a part of him that is a little concerned this might not happen.
Right. Yeah. It's ironic, I think, that Jonah is forced to do something that he doesn't want to do because of God's love.
Right.
He doesn't want God to love these people.
Right.
And how twisted do you have to be? There was something seriously wrong with Jonah's attitude, I think, as we're going to see even in chapter 4, especially. Here he's being obedient. Here he's doing what the Lord wants him to do. I think it is interesting. It's a very short message, but to me it'd be like you and me saying, if you walk into that snake pit, you're going to get bit.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing you say. You don't say, but if you turn and do go the other way, you won't. We don't say that. But I think that this falls into that category. If 40 days, if you do nothing, you're going to be judged.
Right, right.
And we're going to see how the Ninevites respond to that message in the next episode.
Right. And by the way, the Lord mentions that as well. In Matthew 12:41, he talks about the repentance of the Ninevites. So this is another place where the Lord uses the book of Jonah in his preaching ministry.
It's fascinating the Lord uses Jonah to illustrate so many important points.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening. And next time, we're going to continue the second half of chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, which deals with the response of the Ninevites and then the response of God to their response. Keep grace in focus.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that interesting discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year, it's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So stop by and get a free subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, on the next edition of Grace in Focus, Jonah finally makes it to God's destination for him, Nineveh. Join us for the next Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.